Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm Nabil Biagio on this live broadcast from Studio 14. Here are some of the top stories making news across South Sudan and Sudan this Tuesday, September 19, 2023. United States President Joe Biden addressed world leaders at the United Nations General Assembly in New York this past hour.
The United States seeks a more secure, more prosperous, more equitable world for all people because we know our future is bound to yours. Let me repeat that again. We know our future is bound to yours.
And calm returns to Port Sudan following clashes between the army and local militia.
There were no injuries, and thank God the situation this morning is under control.
We will have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. We begin in the South Sudanese border town of Frank, where South Sudanese people are fleeing Sudan's war for their home country. And the United Nations and analysts say the move could trigger intercommunal violence and endanger the country's transition to democracy. From Frank, South Sudan, reporter Henry Wilkins talks to returnees about their uncertain futures and to analysts about potential effects.
At the river port in Renk, South Sudan, returnees fleeing fighting in Sudan prepared to board boats to transport them south on the White Nile to the city of Malakal. Having fled into communal violence in South Sudan years ago, Sarah Reith, along with her children, has been forced back to Upper Nile State because of Sudan's conflict, which started in April. Reith talked to VOA about starting over in her hometown. She says she doesn't know what she will do to earn a living, so she will have to do whatever she can. She doesn't have any resources to start up a business either, but nonetheless won't be going back to Sudan. Since the start of the war, more than 200,000 people have fled Sudan for South Sudan, mostly through Renk. The South Sudanese government is doing all it can to move them away from the border and prevent a build-up in Renk of people in need of humanitarian assistance. They are being relocated on these cramped boats to areas they left years ago and in many cases have only tenuous connections to. Despite this, it's better than staying in Sudan, says returnee Rebecca Deng. She says the fighting in Sudan is intense, a huge problem. People go without food for 5 days. People are killed in the street and some are unable to leave their homes because of constant gunfire, day and night. Analysts say the influx of returnees is likely to cause major problems for South Sudan's transition to democracy, with the country's first elections planned for next year. Peter Biar Ajak is a South Sudan expert at Harvard University.
For many years, we had many South Sudanese population that had fled to the north who are now returning back. And they're returning back to a country that is not ready to receive them. So we have a lot of humanitarian crisis, and it raises a question. Should we be thinking about elections at a time of such a severe humanitarian catastrophe? That situation could also affect the long-term stability and security of South Sudan.
He added that politicians should not use the conflict as an excuse to delay elections, however. Salem Terese Demise of the South Africa-based Institute for Security Studies said that South Sudan returnees could clash with members of other ethnic groups in the areas they relocate to.
And the humanitarian responses so far are not really structured in a way that really addresses the needs of the returnees. Therefore, this situation might lead to communal violence. And this communal violence has been cited as one of the major challenges of the implementation of the peace process itself.
Violence among the returnees' different ethnic groups has already broken out in both Renk and Malakal. Henry Wilkins, VOA News, Renk, South Sudan.
From South Sudan, we move to New York and the ongoing 78th General Assembly of the United Nations.
The United States seeks a more secure, more prosperous, more equitable world for all people because we know our future is bound to yours. Let me repeat that again. We know our future is bound to yours. And no nation can meet the challenges of today alone.
That was U.S. President Joe Biden speaking today at the United Nations General Assembly in New York. Biden's speech argued to convince world leaders that his vision of American leadership and multilateral approach to foreign policy will help solve the world's most pressing problems.
Nowhere is that more critical than accelerating the climate crisis, than the accelerating climate crisis. We see it everywhere. Record-breaking heat waves in the United States and China, wildfires ravaging North America and Southern Europe, a fifth year of drought in the Horn of Africa, tragic, tragic flooding in Libya. My heart goes out to the people of Libya that's killed thousands, thousands of people. Together, these snapshots tell an urgent story of what awaits us if we fail to reduce our dependence on fossil fuels and began to climate-proof the world.
He again denounced Russia's invasion of Ukraine as a violation of a core tenet of the UN Charter. Biden also said that the Declaration on Human Rights, signed at the UN 75 years ago, remains a symbol of hope.
While we still struggle to uphold equal and inalienable rights of all, they remain ever steady and ever true. We cannot turn away from abuses, whether in Xinjiang, Tehran, Darfur, or anywhere else. We have to continue working to ensure that women and girls enjoy equal rights and equal participation in their societies, that indigenous groups, racial, ethnic, religious minorities, people with disabilities do not have their potential stifled by systemic discrimination, that the LGBTQI+ people are not prosecuted or targeted with violence because of who they are. These rights are part of our shared humanity.
Leaders from at least 145 countries are slated to attend the annual General Assembly meeting this week in New York, with a few notable exceptions. France, the United Kingdom, China, and Russia will be represented by senior officials. This means that the United States is the only permanent member of the UN Security Council whose top leader will be present. At least 13, a top official of the Sudan People's Liberation Movement in opposition, or SPLM-IO, says First Vice President Riek Machar's movements outside Juba are being restricted. A top SPLM in government party leader denies anyone is restricting Machar's movements. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
SPLM-IO Deputy Chairperson Oyen Nathaniel Pierino, who is also First Deputy Speaker of the National Legislative Assembly, says preventing SPLM-IO leader Riek Machar from traveling anywhere outside Juba is aimed at restricting the party's political activities in the country. Nathaniel says since Machar arrived back in Juba in 2020, he has not been allowed to go to anywhere outside the capital. He says the SPLM in government barred Machar from attending the UN General Assembly underway this week in New York, along with several other requests for travel outside the capital.
He has not visited any state. He has not even gone for treatment outside. It's not because we have not been asking for it. We have been asking for it, only that we don't talk about it in the media. But I think today is the time to talk about it, that he is not free. He is sick in Juba, and he treats himself here inside Juba. There is no fairness. He wanted to go to WAW for a conference organized by the state. He was denied to go and participate in WAW. He wanted to go to West Africa on invitation of one of the governments. He was denied. He was also invited to the current UN General Assembly. He was also denied.
While the SPLM-IO states that Machar was invited to the UN General Assembly, South Sudan in Focus was unable to verify that claim. Nathaniel says restricting Machar's movement is an unfair practice at a time when the country needs political and civic space in order to prepare for next year's elections. Nathaniel says restricting the SPLM-IO's political activities across the country could negatively affect the country's ability to hold credible elections.
We want the agreement to be implemented in a timely scale so that we can go and terminate the transitional period by holding free, fair, and credible elections in the Republic of South Sudan. Moreover, what we are now experiencing, there is no fairness here in this country, no political space. SPLM-IO is not given fair ground to do its business. We are not allowed to participate in the three administrative areas.
The SPLM-IO accuses the SPLM in government of shrinking the civic space in the country. Nathaniel says the SPLM-IO is not participating in political activities because of lack of space. Kual Atem, a senior SPLM member who now heads the party secretariat for the Parliamentary and Executive Caucus, denies the SPLM-IO accusations.
SPLM have not dispatched any supporter of the SPLM-IO. What are the evidence that the MHR have decided to travel to Kenya, Uganda, or America, and then he has paid for his ticket, and his passport was taken away?
Nathaniel says implementing the peace agreement faces hurdles that require the urgent attention of the deal's regional guarantors.
We are calling for RGMEC to come and break the deadlock. Should the principal fail, the guarantors, we are also alerting them that the agreement is at risk, especially on matters related to the peace agreement.
The SPLM in government holds approximately 57% of government positions in the executive. The SPLM-IO controls around 25%. Last week, the head of the reconstituted Joint Monitoring and Evaluation Commission, Tai Gitwai, said a lack of trust among the parties to the agreement is obstructing its implementation. For VOA News, I'm Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. Coming up, clashes in South Sudan's Pibor administrative area leave several people dead and hundreds displaced. Stay tuned for that report right after this break.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202-630-8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202-630-8011.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. At least 13 people, including an army colonel, were killed and hundreds of residents displaced following clashes between armed youth and government forces in eastern South Sudan's Pochala County of the Greater Pibor Administrative Area yesterday. A military spokesperson says the fighting broke out when armed young men attacked a South Sudan People's Defense Forces base. Manyang David Mayar has more for VOA from Juba.
Major General Lu Ruaikong, a spokesperson of the South Sudan's People's Defense Forces, or SSPDF, says the fighting started when former military commander Colonel Joseph Okun led a gang of armed youth who attacked the SSPDF barracks.
Until May, he was the area commander for the SSPDF forces in the area. He was replaced. Then upon his replacement, he was assigned. After being reassigned, he decided not to take up his new position and instead decided to join local criminals in the area, organize them, and they decided to attack our defensive positions at dawn. And as a result, he was neutralized in action and the attacking forces fled.
Reached by phone from Pochala earlier today, Owiti Olung, the acting county commissioner, says it was the other way around, that the army first attacked former commander Colonel Okun's residence and killed him, along with some of his bodyguards.
When he killed it, I talked with the youth, not fighting with the soldiers. So I briefed them, seeing we reached tonight. Yesterday morning, they were start shooting the air or the community. All the fighting is started. So until today also, the fighting is started according to that issue.
Olung says a total of 10 armed young men were killed and 7 others injured. He says most of the civilians, especially women and children, fled into the bush. Olung says he believes the army used excessive force on civilians, including deploying military helicopters, which he claimed dropped bombs on villages in Poshala, burning houses to the ground. Abraham Kelang, the Greater Pibor Administrative Area Information Minister, confirms that 3 SSPDF soldiers were killed and 2 others injured. He claims the government is fighting armed rebels in Poshala and that 2 months ago, the same armed group killed a commissioner and 3 National Security Service officials in the area.
Yesterday, again, they're attacking Barak. We call him all rebels. It's not issues of concerning of use of Poshala only, no. It's a rebel because some of them, they are former politician, is causing this problem.
Poshala's acting commissioner is strongly denied the accusation.
We are not rebel. We are SPLA, SPLM. And we are a Southern Sudanese, and we are a region of Southern Sudan. And also we are not against SPLA. The one which we are against them, it is a Murle and the government of Murle who were there in Greater Bibor.
Poshala is home to the Anuak people, a minority tribe in South Sudan. They live in a remote county along the Ethiopian border with no road access to Juba. The area has been the center of unrest, characterized by repeated attacks over the years, including one on the Anuak King's Palace. Last year, Anuak community leaders demanded an exit from the Greater Pibor Administrative Area, citing deadly intercommunal attacks in the area. For VOA News, I'm Anyang David Mayor in Juba.
Still on news of clashes, we move to Sudan's eastern town of Port Sudan, where witnesses say calm has returned to the town of Port Sudan in the Red Sea state following clashes that erupted last night between the Sudan Armed Forces and an armed militia from the area. Residents say gunfire broke out after the army tried to dismantle a checkpoint set up by the local militia. Michael Atit brings us details from Juba.
After last night's clashes, eyewitnesses say Red Sea State authorities imposed a 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. curfew in Port Sudan. Port Sudan resident Bakash Abdul Gadir tells VOA shops and market reopened this morning and people are carrying on with their normal day-to-day activities.
There were no injuries and thank God the situation this morning is under control. The army dealt with the situation with high integrity. The situation today is calm, nothing to worry about. The Beja leadership has confirmed their commitment to de-escalate tension in the town.
On Monday evening, an armed militia from the Beja National Congress, led by Shiba Dirar, erected a checkpoint on a main street in Port Sudan to inspect the documents of vehicles carrying goods out of the seaport terminal. The Sudanese army contacted members of the Eastern Sudan's Beja National Congress, led by Dirar, and urged them to remove the checkpoint established last week. The two sides exchanged gunfire for about 15 minutes, creating panic among civilians. Speaking to Al-Hadas TV channel last night, Beja National Congress leader Dirar accused top army officials in the area of illegally issuing permits for some truck drivers to supply the paramilitary rapid support forces in Khartoum. Dirar says his group acted out of patriotism to defend the rights of the citizens.
People here lack medicines and sugar, and we cannot allow these items to be taken out of the town. As part of our patriotic responsibility towards our people in the state, we detained quite a good number of trucks because we don't want them to supply the RSF, and we found out that they don't own a legal departure order from the authorities.
Dirar called on army leaders to end the illegal smuggling of essential goods. He says the Beja community shall remain forever in support of the Sudanese National Army.
We are in support of the army and other organized forces in Khartoum, but we are against those who are in closed doors offices here in Port Sudan. We don't recognize them, and we don't even adhere to their directives.
Sudanese political analyst Musab Muhammad Ali says the incident should not be overlooked. Ali says any escalation in fighting in Port Sudan will engulf the entire region of eastern Sudan, which could lead to the creation of other community militia groups.
Continuation of war in Sudan will lead to the emergence of many militia groups, which would use the ongoing turbulent situation to destabilize national security and spread chaos across the country.
Port Sudan has been relatively quiet since the start of the conflict between the Sudan Army and the RSF in mid-April. It has become a temporary administrative capital of Sudan. Late last month, Sudan military leader Abdul Fattah al-Burhan escaped the fighting in the capital Khartoum and is now headquartered in Port Sudan. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Juba.
Some politicians and political analysts in South Sudan are criticizing a decision by lawmakers to approve a bill that gives the president the power to appoint lawmakers after an election. A policy analyst says a policy analyst with the Juba-based Institute of Social Policy and Research says the legislation usurps the people's powers to elect their own representatives. Deng Gai Deng has the details for VOA Fumbor.
On Monday, the National Legislative Assembly approved the National Elections Act 2012, a bill that gives the South Sudan president the power to appoint 5% of the country's legislators. SPLM in government, South Sudan Opposition Alliance, and other political parties' lawmakers approved the controversial bill. Despite protest from lawmakers in the main opposition party, the South Sudan's People's Liberation Movement in Opposition, or SPLM-IO. Nathaniel Oyet, Deputy Speaker of the National Assembly, who is also Deputy Chairperson of the SPLM-IO, says the legislation violates the 2018 Revitalized Peace Agreement. Oyet says the peace deal requires the National Elections Commission to conduct free, fair, and credible elections and ensure that the outcome reflects the will of the electorate before the end of the transitional period in December 2024.
The SPLM-IO Parliamentary Caucus condemns in the strongest terms possible attempts by the SPLM-IEG and its allies to make the process and the conduct of the national elections in South Sudan undemocratic, unfair, and not credible.
Oyet says lawmakers representing SPLM-IO and other political parties were deprived of their constitutional right to express their views on the bill.
The Right Honourable Speaker decided to proceed without consensus and decided to usher the House into voting despite the lack of consensus on this very important matter. In light of the above violations, the SPLM-IO Parliamentary Caucus condemns in no uncertain terms the continuous violation of the agreement and disregard of the advice of the two principles, relevant peace implementation mechanism, the RJMEC, and the NCAC.
Boboya Jemis, a policy analyst with the Juba-based Institute of Social Policy and Research, describes the provision giving the president the unrestricted power to appoint lawmakers as undemocratic.
What is anticipated right now by all the South Sudan is that they would want to see power back in the hands of the communities and the power back to the hands of the citizens. But the legislators do not understand that cry. They want to take power from the citizens and give this power back to the president, which is unconstitutional.
Baboya says the bill should be revisited, asserting that the decision on who is appointed or elected in South Sudan should be made by the citizens. The 2018 revitalized peace agreement stipulates drafting of a permanent constitution, formation of a national army that would provide security during elections, return of refugees and transitional justice. All should be completed before elections. Several of those provisions have yet to be carried out. For VOA News, I am Deng Gaideng in Bor.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what do you do to conserve your energy when it is very hot outside?
I drink lots of cold water because it relaxes me. So immediately I become dehydrated or I feel hot. I take in more cold water, yes, and it makes me okay.
Well, I live around the beach, so on a hot day, I just take a stroll on the shore wearing a light cloth so that I can feel the sea breeze around myself.
If it is hot, you have to make sure that you get somewhere where it is cool. You go and bathe. Those are normal things you have to do.
When I'm at my home, I undress. This is my home. I have a bedroom. My home is big. Why won't I undress?
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
If you are in Sudan witnessing events taking place there, or if you have family you are talking to there, you can call us on WhatsApp and let us know how things are going there. Dial the international code +1, then 202-258-3076. The number again, the international code +1, then 202-258-3076.
And that's all we have for you this Tuesday. Don't forget to check out voaafrica.com for all your favorite programs and news updates. If you missed this broadcast, go to www.voaafrica.com/South Sudan. We now leave you with Sheila Manga by General Paulino. We've been listening to General Paulino and the song Chilimanga. I am your host, Nabil Biagio, in Washington. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Ofori, and engineer, Cornelio Tenor. Thanks for taking the time to be with us. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Sibuta kunjamana, analbakar ko sibu.